possibly what Aries or any emergency responding group could come in contact with hazardous materials in either coming up onto an accident or being called to some type of call out. I kind of grew up in hazardous materials transportation. I have about 25 years of experience with a major tank truck carrier that I worked for. We'd haul everything from whiskey to the worst stuff that you'd ever see. Isopropyl carbonate unstabilized, which was something they use in glasses, but they ship it in frozen state. It thaws out to 40 degrees and explodes and it burns hot. It's really, we haul a pretty wide gamut of materials. In your normal travel going up down the highway on Market Street, not so much on Market Street, but on the interstate systems, you'll see tank trucks. We have tank trucks. We have rail cars. We have, like up by Roadway, we have bulk stations where they, will warehouse and distribute petroleum products and hazardous materials. It can be more than just petroleum products. These things are all common. They're, we live with them. And it has evolved where we do a real good job of managing these things. But accidents do happen, okay? We also have several pipelines that run through our county and adjacent counties. A pipeline, though, if you go up on the turnpike or if you go on to, let's just pick on I-77, just north of Bath, north of that rest area, there's a pipeline that goes across Interstate 77. You'll see a great big pipe about that big around. Who knows what's in there? I don't know what's in there, but that is a transmission line for anything from gasoline to, any flammable materials that could possibly be will go through that pipeline. Now, as emergency communicators, as things that we do here, if you would happen to come up on a tractor trailer rolled over, if you'd happen to come up on a chemical spill, put as much distance between that facility as you possibly can, and do not key your radio, please. There are some materials that are, and I think the hazardous material group 5 or yellow, they're oxidizers. You'll see a yellow placard, 5.1, 5.2. These are explosives. And a lot of times, sometimes if you key an RF signal, not knowing anything about that, an RF signal has the possibility of detonation, and you would just be gone. Okay. As far as a rollover or a hazardous material spill, the routes of entry into the human body are ingestion. You can eat or swallow or whatever material. You can breathe it in inhalation into your body, and also absorption. Okay, material can actually get on your skin and be absorbed into your skin, toxic material. And I'll pick on one particular incident that we had on Interstate 90 back in probably 1991 or 92, around just east of Route 45 on Interstate 90. The company that I worked for is no longer business. They went out of business, but they had a tank truck roll over, and it was a heavy fuming acid. The product was phosphorus trichloride. It was a fuming acid, and basically what it does, the rollover, there was a breach in the tank, and these fumes would come out, and when they hit the atmosphere, they actually turned into a white mist or a cloud that was heavier than air, so it just bounced up and down right at ground level. And this phosphorus trichloride was just very, very bad, very corrosive. Our company paid for a herd of cows. Paid for a bunch of other, just this thing rolls out into the countryside, and the state patrol arrived on scene. These guys were standing there in their nylon shirts and stuff. The buttons started to fall off their shirts. The nylon, actually, there was a chemical reaction. They started to melt. Okay, and that's just one of the illustrations of what you can actually come up on as far as like a tank truck or your rail cars. A rail car, the only difference between a rail car and a tank truck, a rail car can haul a heck of a lot more than a tank. Okay. So these chemicals, we have chemical plants around here. We have I don't know if it's still there, General Tire and Mogador. There's a lot of things out there, styrene monomers. There's just a whole bunch of just wonderful stuff out there to make plastics. You know, I've been out there for this many years.
They're gone.
Are they gone?
Yeah, Ashland Chemical. My wife used to work for Ashland Chemical.
They buy
and that's they closed that facility now.
Did they the whole thing?
Yep.
Okay. That used to be a real hot spot. We used to haul a lot of materials in and out of there. A Goodyear downtown Akron. All their facilities, we hauled, you know, large volumes of chemicals. You just have to be, you know, very aware. If you have an emergency situation, you are not a first responder, and the best thing that you could do for yourself and the first responders is get out of there. Okay. I don't know, back in the late 80s, if anybody remembers, they had a rail car either derail or burn somewhere in Akron down by Firestone Parkway. Okay, I opened a rail of vault facility down there in Firestone Parkway, and we couldn't even go to work. The Akron Fire and everybody just closed that down. Nobody was allowed in and out of that area, and rightfully so. They had these, you know, who knows where it was going to go or what was going to happen. So what they did, what Akron did basically, was they just shut everybody out, and, you know, we were not allowed to go down there, and they took care of, the professional people took care of the incident. There was no problems. Okay, there was no, to my knowledge, there was no injuries. There was no deaths. Okay, it was an incident that happened. Did a very professional job mitigating that rail car problem. I don't know how much on hazardous materials that you want me to, you know, talk about. The two modes that would affect you, and basically, is rail and truck. The biggest commodity that overland transportation is gasoline. You see the gasoline tankers in and out of filling stations up and down Market Street. These things will haul between 72 and 9,000 gallons of gasoline. Okay, they can be either one grade or multi grades. They can be compartmented in 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 compartments with the different grades of materials in. They're really, really very, very safe. That's aluminum skin tank, not insulated skin tank. The aluminum is not very thick. If some car would run into it, or if a driver would go around the corner too close and hook anything into a sharp object, he can actually puncture and rupture that thing, and then he'll lose the whole load. And that has happened. That has happened. Okay. These are just the present dangers that we live with, and the transportation and the handling of these things, for the most part, throughout our country, are as good or better than anywhere else in the world. We haul a lot of this stuff overland, either by truck or rail, and, you know, we do it successfully. There are incidents, there are things that happen. Every once in a while, there'll be an accident, and it'll always be a flammable material under a bridge. It'll burn up. And that carrier, if it's self-insured, just bought a new tractor trailer, and pray to God nobody gets hurt, but they're going to buy that bridge. Okay, they're going to buy the replacement cost on that bridge. That always happens. There's always a lot of hazards with these petroleum products. Today in the news, or yesterday and today, we had a fire down in the Gulf of Mexico, about 50 miles south of New Orleans. They had a drilling rig catch on fire. Rescued most of the people. There are 11 people they now assume dead. The drilling rig has been on fire for squeezing 48 hours. As of this afternoon, that rig has sunk, and I think the fire is still going. So there's 11 people basically that they assume are lost. It's just very, very hazardous, okay? And that's just raw crude. You take that refined product, and the hazard scale goes up dramatically with the refined petroleum products. So, we have, like I said, pipelines. We have those here. I've never, ever in my life, been around Northeastern Ohio, ever had a problem with a pipeline that I can remember hearing. It's always been a rail problem. It's always been a tank truck problem. There are hazardous materials in the waterways, and I don't know anything at all about that on the Great Lakes system, but I'm assuming because of the ship containers and everything that's coming in from around the world, either through, you know, ship containers via rail or tank truck or ship modes, very possibly you could have that on the Great Lakes too. I do not know. But this is a worldwide global economy now, and you have things running around. You see these little ship containers with a tank truck on them. A little tiny tank truck. These things are really, really are built very, very well. They're protected by a steel frame, and you have to take a lot of damage before you rupture or puncture one of those things to have a release. Okay. Have you ever, has Aries ever in the county had an emergency response for a spill? Or?
No. I will comment that I've been in several dispatch centers, Cuyahoga Falls. They moved their dispatch center from downtown Cuyahoga Falls out to Wyoga Lake Road specifically because of potential hazmat incidences. Where their dispatch center was, it was two blocks from State Route 8 and the railway tracks that come through there. And so their big fear was something can happen on Route 8 or something could happen on the railway tracks. And they would lose their dispatch center as a result of it, so they moved it out to Wyoga Lake Road. And it's really interesting to see their dispatch center and Hudson's dispatch center. They all have video cameras that as the trains come through Cuyahoga Falls and the trains come through Hudson, they are all on video. They're live cameras telling them they can watch those trains come through. And it's because of hazmat. That's what their concern is, that there's a collision or a derailment or whatever. They don't have to, in other words, they don't even have to have anybody on the scene to report it. Their dispatchers can.
To add or support to that, rail mode transportation, it happens still today with great maintenance. They have wheels will lock up, and they'll start actually a fire on the undercarriage of a rail car. And that can and sometimes does happen to something that might be carrying propane or whatever. And that's the last thing you ever want to do is get a fire around anything that has potentially a rail car. Again, because of the volume. Okay, the volume is just tremendous. I grew up east of Cleveland in Madison, Ohio, Lake County, and I was a police officer out there for 14 years. And we've had several rail incidences that, you know, things just happen, okay? They just happen. We've had trains come by, like Walt was saying, they have these on camera. They'll come by, you'll see the wheels are smoking. There's actually a fire generating in the undercarriage of these boxcars. I've never seen a tank car do this. And what we've done, I can remember twice in 14 years radioing into our main dispatch in Paintsville and have them call, not to date myself, ladies and gentlemen, but it was the Penn Central Railroad. And they've been out of business. They went to Conrail, and I don't know what it is now, but we've had them call the dispatch, and we had eastbound going east of Madison going towards the next community or whatever. And they would actually radio through to, you know, the railroads, and basically they'd tell them whatever the train was coming through, that they had a wheel or whatever smoking or burning, and, you know, they would have to stop and do something about it. They had a terrible rail fire in Paintsville, oh, I'd say less than 10 years ago, 5 to 7 years ago, just east or just west of Lubrizol, which makes it, Lubrizol sits at 44 in Route 2, and Lubrizol is a humongous, just a huge, huge, they refine petroleum products, they used to make STP and a whole bunch of other additives like that, very, very fine company. But they had this rail, that had nothing to do with their plant, but just east or just west of that plant several years ago, they had a rail derailment and a fire that took the fire departments several days to put out. This railroad track runs past Lubrizol's property. Now, the good Lord let it do its thing over here, and not down here by Lubrizol. That track, they have tracks that feed that main line there. So, if you had a big fire next to something like that, stuff does happen. And, you know, your imagination can really just run away with what the potential dangers could be. So, it's out there. We do a really good job as far as containing or maintaining or, you know, prevention first. The DOT, the Federal Highway Administration, does a really good job. Mostly, as far as like enforcing their rules and regulations for carriers, their drivers, people like that, mostly. There are always a few that shortcut, circumvent, and sometimes they get caught. What else do I want to tell you? You want to go to Haiti?
Any questions?
Any questions?
Just yeah, we have questions.
Hey, you mentioned pipelines. About 25 years ago, Columbia lost one of the main transmission lines between Pleasant City and Caldwell, the Calichuk and Hillside down there. I don't know if you guys know where the Shenandoah Memorial is down there in the field off the side of 77, which is American Flag and some markers.
I know where it's at, yes.
It blew a chunk of that hillside.